कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा, कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा, कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, 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 यशोद नंदन ब्रजन रंजन, यशोद नंदन ब्रजन रंजन, यशोद नंदन ब्रजन रंजन, यशोद नंदन ब्रजन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोद नंदन ब्रजन रंजन, नंदन ब्रजन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, 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 हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, जय गौरानिताय 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 जय प्रभुपदा 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 जय जय गुरुदेव 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 जय जय गुरुदेव जय जय गुरुदेव गुरुदेव देव जय जय गुरुदेव नित्य गौर हरिबोल हरिबोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल जय ओम विष्णु पाद परम स्वरूप अष्टोत्तर षदशी इस डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणविंद भक्तिविंद स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कान बीबीटी संस्था वचन श्रील प्रभुपाद की జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమ పురీత అక్షత్ర చదశి డివైన్ గ్రేస్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి ఠాకూర్షుల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతగుడి వైష్ణవృందికి నామచర్షిలాదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమస్కు శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అడ్విధిగరాధర శివసాది గౌరవ భక్తివృందికి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపనాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిజోవర్ధన్కి వృందావంత ముద్రాధామ్కి మాయాపురధామ్ నవదీపధామ్కి పురుషేతమ చిత్ర జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి గంగమ్మ యమునమాయకి తులసిదేవి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్తి వృందికి శిల ప్రభుపాద ట్రాన్స్సెండెంటల్ బుక్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూషన్కి కలియుగ పవన శ్రీ హరినామ సంకీర్తనికి నితాయ గౌర ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్లీ టు ఓటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్లీ టు ఓటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్లీ టు ఓటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరవం ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శిల ప్రభుపాదకి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదిరేత్ నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవదీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నష్టకి కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః హరే కృష్ణ So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, entitled as Maharaj Raghuguna meets Jada Bharata. So we are going to cover verse 16 and 17. So first we will read 16th verse. Let me first read the individual words and then we'll recite. Khatvam Nigadas Charasi Vijanam Vibarsi Sutram Katamo Avadutaha Kasyasi Kutratya Ihapi Kasmat Shemaya Nas చెద్ అసి నోత శుక్ల కస్త్వం నిగుదశ్చరసి ద్విజానాం బిభర్షి సూత్రం కతమో అవధూతః కస్యాసి కుత్రత్య ఇహాపి కస్మాత్ క్షేమాయ నశ్చేత్ అశినోత శుక్ల కస్త్వం నిగుదశ్చరసి ద్విజానాం బిభర్షి సూత్రం కథమో వదూతః ಕಸ್ಯಾಸಿ ಕುತ್ರತ್ಯ ಇಹಾಪಿ ಕಸ್ಮಾನ್ ಕ್ಷೇಮಾಯನಶ್ಚೇದಸಿ ಜ್ಯೋತ ಶುಕ್ಲಃ ಕಸ್ತಂ ನಿಗೂಢಶ್ಚರಸಿ ದ್ವಿಜಾನಾಂ ಬೆಬರ್ಷಿ ಸೂತ್ರಂ ಕದಮೋವದೂತಃ ಕಸ್ಯಾಸಿ ಕುತ್ರತ್ಯ ಇಹಾಪಿ ಕಸ್ಮಾನ್ ಕ್ಷೇಮಾಯನಶ್ಚೇದಸಿ ನೋತ ಶುಕ್ಲಃ ಕಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನಿಗೂಢಶ್ಚರಸಿ ದ್ವಿಜಾನಾಂ ಬೆಬರ್ಷಿ ಸೂತ್ರಂ ಕದಮೋ ವದೂತಃ ಕಸ್ಯಾಸಿ ಕುತ್ರತ್ಯ ಇಹಾಪಿ ಕ್ಷೇಮಾಯನಶ್ಚೇದಸಿ ನೋತ ಶುಕ್ಲಃ ಕಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನಿಗೂಢಶ್ಚರಸಿ ದ್ವಿಜಾನಾಂ ಬೆಬರ್ಷಿ ಸೂತ್ರಂ ಕದಮೋವದೂತಃ ಕಸ್ಯಾಸಿ ಕುತ್ರತ್ಯ ಇಹಾಪಿ ಕಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಕ್ಷೇಮಾಯನಶ್ಚೇದಸಿ ನೋತ ಶುಕ್ಲಃ ಕಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನಿಗೂಢಶ್ಚರಸಿ ದ್ವಿಜಾನಾಂ ಬೆವರ್ಷಿ ಸೂತ್ರಂ ಕದಮೋವದೂತಃ ಕಸ್ಯಾಸಿ ಕುತ್ರತ್ಯ ಇಹಾಪಿ ಕಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಕ್ಷೇಮಾಯನಶ್ಚೇದಸಿ ನೋತ ಶುಕ್ಲಃ ಮಾತಾಜೀಸ್ ಕಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನಿಗೂಢಶ್ಚರಸಿ ದ್ವಿಜಾನಾಂ ಬಿಭರ್ಷಿ ಸೂತ್ರಂ ಕದಮೋವದೂತಃ ಕಸ್ಯಾಸಿ ಕುತ್ರತ್ಯ ಇಹಾಪಿ ಕಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಕ್ಷೇಮಾಯನಶ್ಚೇದಸಿ ನೋತ ಶುಕ್ಲಃ ಖ ತ್ವಂ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಯು ನಿಗೂಢದಃ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಕವರ್ಡ್ ಚರಸಿ You move within this world. Dvijanam, among the brahmanas are saintly persons. Bibarsi, you also wear. Sutram, the sacred thread belonging to the first class brahmanas. Kadamaha, which, avadutaha, highly elevated person. Kasya asi, Who are you? Whose disciple or son are you? Kutratya, from where? Iha api, here in this place. Kasmat, for what purpose? Shemaya, for the benefit. Naha, of us. Chet, if. Asi, who are you? Na uta. Or not, Shuklaha, the personality of the pure mode of goodness. Kapila Deva, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, King Raghuguna said, O Brahmana, you appear to be moving in this world very much covered and unknown to others. Who are you? Are you a learned brahmana and saintly person? I see that you are wearing a sacred thread. Are you one of those exalted, liberated saints, such as Dattatreya and other highly advanced learned scholars? May I ask whose disciple you are? Where do you live? Why have you come to this place? Is your mission in coming here to do good for us? Please let me know who you are. Purport: Magaraj Raghuguna was very anxious to receive further enlightenment in Vedic knowledge.
because he could understand that Jatabharata belonged to a Brahmana family, either by disciplic succession or by birth in a Brahmana dynasty. He stated in the Vedas, Tatvijnartam sa gurum evabhigachet. Raghuguna was accepting Jatabharata as a guru. But a guru must prove his position not only by wearing a sacred thread, but by advancing knowledge in spiritual life. It is also significant that Raghuguna asked Jatabharata which family he belonged to. There are two types of families, one according to dynasty and the other according to disciplic succession. In either way, one can be enlightened. The word Shuklaha refers to a person in the mode of goodness. If one wants to receive spiritual knowledge, he must approach a bona fide Brahmana guru, either in disciplic succession or in a family of learned Brahmanas. Next verse, verse 17. I will just recite and translation and purport. Nagam Vishanke Suraraja Vajran Natrakshasulan Na Yamasya Dandat Nagnyarka Soma Nilavitta Pastraj Sanke Brisham Brahma Kula Avamanat. Translation, my dear sir, I am not at all afraid of the thunderbolt of King Indra, nor am I afraid of the serpentine piercing trident of Lord Shiva. I do not care about punishment of Yamaraja, the superintendent of death, nor am I afraid of fire, scorching sun, moon, wind, nor the weapons of Kuvera. Yet, I am afraid of offending a Brahmana. I am very much afraid of this. Purport. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Rupa Goswami at the Dasha Ashwamedha Ghata in Prayaga, he pointed out very clearly the seriousness of offending a Vaishnava. He compared the Vaishnava Aparada to Hathi Mata, a mad elephant. He compared the Vaishnava Aparada to Hathi Mata, a mad elephant. When a mad elephant enters a garden, it spoils all the fruits and flowers. Similarly, if one offends a Vaishnava, he spoils all his spiritual assets. Offending a Brahmana is very dangerous, and this was known to Maharaj Raghuguna. He therefore frankly admitted his fault. There are many dangerous things: thunderbolts, fire, Yamaraja's punishment, the punishment of Lord Shiva's trident, and so forth. But none is considered as serious as offending a Brahmana like Jatabharata. Therefore, Maharaja Raghuguna immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat before the lotus feet of the Brahmana Jatabharata, just to be excused. Omajjana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sakagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaidam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sakagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sundubhya Yevacha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurateshve Namaha ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಶಕ್ತಿಕಂ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೀಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾಣುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಟು ಅವರ್ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ಸೊ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ವಿ ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ಆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ I would like to take blessings and permission from the, all the assembled Vaishnavas. I am not qualified to talk on these topics, especially beyond the second cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, because I am still materially attached in this world. But by the order of devotees, I am endeavoring to speak on this topic for my own purification. Please give your blessings. So here, Maharaj Raghuguna is actually talking to Jadabharata Maharaj. So the context in which this verses comes, let's zoom out a little bit. We know the Srimad Bhagavatam is conversation between Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya. By quoting the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And then Sukadeva Goswami again further quotes many of the conversations in Srimad Bhagavatam. So first he starts with, you know, the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi. So that constitutes the third and fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So third and fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam primarily talks about Sarga and Visarga. So we all know that Srimad Bhagavatam addresses 10 topics. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam utayaha. Right? So like the first two topics are creation, the primary creation which Lord himself personally does by creating all the essential ingredients required to manifest the creation. All the primary elements, secondary elements, right, the senses, right, intelligence, mind, all these various elements are required for further creation. He himself creates. Right? After that, he delegates this task to who? To Brahma in each universe. Right? There are millions and millions of universes are coming from the body of Garbhadaksai Vishnu. Right? Whatever is emanating from the Lord cannot be material, right? It has to be spiritual. What comes out of, right, Karanadakasai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, is the golden eggs, right, the golden eggs which are completely spiritual. Then how come the material universes can come about that? Right? For that, the Lord actually glances on the Prakriti, the material energy, which is lying dormant. So through his glance, he expands as Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is actually the reflection of Sadashiva. Sadashiva and Lord Vishnu, Narayana, they are non-different. Sadashiva and Narayana are same personality in the spiritual world. Right? This Sadashiva is actually very special personality. Right? Half of Sadashiva Loka is in the spiritual world and half of that is in the material world as Kailasha. That Sadashiva, who is always constantly doing Nama Sankirtana. Right? So, he, his reflection comes as Shiva, Shambhu. So, from the glance of Mahavishnu, Shambhu goes and touches Prakriti, the Shakti. When Shiva and Shakti unites, what comes? Material creation. What comes out is all the primary elements. And that primary elements goes and covers the golden eggs. and that's how each universe is created. So this is the primary creation. And for the secondary creation, same Mahavishnu enters into each one of the universes, Garbhadakasaya Vishnu. He is lying down in the Brahmanda, which is half filled with Garbha ocean. From his navel comes lotus flower. From that lotus flower is born Brahma. And Brahma is born, he doesn't know what to do. Hence, he hears the sound. Tapa, he performs tapasya. And then he has been given knowledge to facilitate his service of secondary creation. All this is covered in third and fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So basically, in the fourth canto, specifically he talks about the descendants of Svayambhuva Manu. So after that, actually, conversation between Vidura and Maitreya is over, and Vidura is leaving to Hastinapura to deliver Dhritarashtra, his brother. After that, Shukadeva Goswami continues the second son of Svayambhuva Manu, Priyavarta Maharaj, and then his descendants. Right, in the descendant lineage comes Bharatam, Rishabh, Lord Rishabha, and Lord Rishabha's primary first son, senior most son, eldest son, is Bharatam Maharaj, on whose name the entire, you know, the planet is named as Bharatavarsha. And that Bharatam Maharaj eventually takes renunciation and goes exclusively worshipping the Supreme Lord. But somehow, by arrangement of the divine, that is somehow he gets little distracted from his devotional service, gets attached to the deer, the baby deer. And then because of that, when he leaves the body, he is thinking of the deer and he takes birth in the next life as the deer. And then again, because he had done devotional service to the perfection, only little bit of part is left, he again takes birth in a Brahmana family. But now, this time he is very cautious. He doesn't want anything to distract him in this world except his attention towards the lotus feet of the Lord. Hence, he acts like a dumb or mad person. He is not interested in anything in this world. If he shows any intelligence or any conversation, right, somehow he might get entangled in this world. Hence, he acts like a madman. So that Jadabharata Maharaj, right, somehow, you know, he escapes various things, like the thieves try to sacrifice him. Now Mother Kali protects Vaishnava, because Vaishnava Aparath is, as he Prabhupada mentioned here, Vaishnava Aparath is the mad elephant offense. And, you know, Mother Kali protects Jadabharata Maharaj. And then later, somehow, he has been employed by the servants of King Raghuguna to carry the palanquin of Maharaj Raghuguna. So while carrying the palanquin, right, because he is a great elevated soul, is already perfected being, he doesn't want to cause anything which will entangle him in this world. Whenever he sees an ant, he will try to go around. So there are four people carrying the palanquin. Out of that, one person trying to go around. What will happen? There will be imbalance. So this happens couple of times, and then King Raghuguna chastises him, and then saying that, are you mad? Are you dumb? Are you not healthy? Are you dead? Like that, many, many questions he asks. But after that, Bharata Maharaj answers to this question in a very, very philosophical, elevated way. Because King Raghuguna is already well trained in respecting sadhus, in understanding Vedic philosophy, he immediately recognizes when Jadabharata Maharaj speaks that this cannot be an ordinary person. He is a greatly elevated saint. At that time, immediately he gets down off the palanquin, offers dandavat, and falls flat at the lotus feet of Jadabharata Maharaj and asks these questions. Who are you? You are wearing this sacred thread. It looks like you are a Brahmana coming from a very high class family, or you are a great saintly person. Who are you? Whose disciple are you? So here purport, actually, Prabhupada talks about the importance of taking shelter at the spiritual master. Again, Prabhupada actually covers this also in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, right? Why do we need spiritual master? Why do we need spiritual master? Because this world is full of perplexities. Perplexity means we get confused. We don't know to do or not to do, right? This is the constant dilemma for everyone in this material world. To do or not to do. So to come out of this perplexity, we cannot do it on our own without the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Hence, it is important to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. That's what Prabhupada says. Prabhupada says there are two types of gurus coming in lineage. Guru means it has to come in parampara. Evam parampara praptam imam raja rishyavad. Krishna says, right, this knowledge was coming in disciplic succession. In the beginning of creation, I spoke this knowledge to sun god Vivashvan, and Vivashvan spoke to his son Manu, Manu spoke to his son Ikshvaku. Like that it was coming in a disciplic succession. But over the period of time, the knowledge as it is appears to be lost. The knowledge is never lost. Shabda Brahman, right? Shabda Brahman means like sound energy. That knowledge is never lost. Once it's vibrated, it exists. But to access that knowledge, right, we need instrument. That is the guru disciplic succession. Over the period of time, the disciplic succession is broken. Hence, the knowledge as it is appears to be lost. The knowledge is not lost, it appears to be lost. Hence, I am here again speaking this knowledge to you, Arjuna, to re-establish that disciplic succession. That's what Prabhupada says in this purport. The knowledge has to, the spiritual master has to come in disciplic succession. Otherwise, he cannot be a bona fide spiritual master. There are two types. One is coming in disciplic succession, guru parampara. Other is one who is born in a family of elevated brahmanas. Both of them are okay. Because if somebody is born in a family of elevated brahmanas, there is all the possibilities that that child also is going to be highly trained in spiritual knowledge. So that is why Prabhupada is quoting. But we all know that in Kali Yuga, right, even brahmanas families, right, even demons take birth. So hence, this may not be so much reliable, but still it's possible. Still there might be very highly elevated brahmana families where a child is born, he might get nicely trained. Such a child can is a qualified spiritual master in family tradition. But more accessible in Kali Yuga is the lineage coming from disciplic succession. Somebody coming in a disciplic succession, even though he may not be born in a brahmana family, but by the mercy, the descending mercy of the disciplic succession, he is elevated to the status of a Vaishnava. Hence, he can act as a spiritual master. So, the importance of taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, Prabhupada emphasized, who is a bona fide spiritual master? First, he has to come in disciplic succession. That means, he has to be a disciple first before he becomes a guru. Nowadays, right, it's a fashion or a trend to say that, no, I don't belong to any sect. I went on the hill, I went on a meditation, I realized the truth, I am teaching now, you take it. There is one famous guru. Nowadays he climbs like that. But that is not accepted. It has to come in disciplic succession. First, before one becomes a guru, he has to be a disciple. That's what it means. Coming in a disciplic succession means. Second, he has to be compassionate towards all. He cannot discriminate. He should be giving this knowledge to whoever is qualified. Third, he should know. He should have deliberately studied the conclusion of the scriptures. He should know what is the essence of all the scriptures. He should have studied carefully, as Goswamis tell, right? Right? Goswamis, that's what he have done. They have deliberately, scrutinizingly studied the Vedic literature and given the essence for us. Especially Rupa and Sanatana, right? On the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they had scrutinously studied all the Vedas. Rupa Goswami had given Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, right? And then many other literatures. And then Sanatana Goswami had given also Hari Bhakti Vilasa and commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam and many literatures they had given. Brihat Bhagavatamrita. They are all actually compiled by scrutinizingly studying the Vedas so that in future devotees who are coming in disciplic succession, they also can get the conclusion so that they know what is the conclusion of the scriptures, so that they can be a bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession. Especially Srila Jiva Goswami, after Rupa and Sanatana left, further systematically presented the philosophy of Krishna consciousness coming from Lord Chaitanya. So Rupa and Sanatana had done the work, but they have not, lot of gaps were there because they have not presented in a systematic, thematic manner the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Not just for the practicing devotees, even for the outside scholars. Hence, he wrote Shad Sandarbha, the sixth exposition or treatise on Bhagavatam. So in that, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami systematically presents the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which to date have never been refuted. Prabhupada says, right, he is the greatest philosopher ever in the creation. It might look like exaggeration. No, right? We can understand, you know. Now, few years ago, His Grace Radhika Raman Prabhu was here, right? He was sharing his background. At the age of 15, he completed his bachelor's. At the age of 18, completed master's and then went to Oxford for his PhD. How he got his PhD? This Jiva Goswami, the amount of work he had written, the original work, is how much? 400,000 shlokas. If you want to understand what it means, 400,000 shlokas, Mahabharata is 125,000 shlokas. The biggest Vedic literature is Mahabharata, which is 125,000. Jiva Goswami's original composition is 400,000, 4 lakhs. You can understand what kind of scholar. Of that, one of the most prominent philosophical work is Shad Sandarbha or Bhagavata Sandarbha. In this Bhagavata Sandarbha, right, there are six of them, six books. One book is Krishna Sandarbha. In that Krishna Sandarbha, there are many chapters are there. From one chapter, one section, few shlokas he took, he did research and got PhD from Oxford. So we can understand what is the potential behind the work of Jiva Goswami, how many PhDs he can create. So from that we can understand when Prabhupada says that Jiva Goswami is the greatest philosopher ever. We can understand. It's true, it's not exaggeration. He's not exaggeratedly telling because he's coming in a disciplic succession. No, he's in fact the greatest philosopher ever. That greatest philosopher ever in Shad Sandarbha systematically presents the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The first Sandarbha, Tattva Sandarbha, is on how to ascertain truth. Tattva means truth. How to ascertain truth? He systematically presents there are different ways of getting knowledge. He enumerates 10 different ways of getting knowledge. Of this, 3 of them are most reliable. Pratyaksha, Anumana and Shabda. Shabda, Pratyaksha means through our senses, through our sense perception, we acquire knowledge. Through our 5 knowledge acquiring senses, we get knowledge. Based on this Pratyaksha, our 6th sense, the coordinating sense, has the special ability of, based on whatever knowledge it receives through Pratyaksha, mind has a special function, the coordinating sense. What does it do? It can make the function of one sense to do the function of other sense. For example, if you have touched an ice, right? You can see something cold or hot only by touching, right? By our touch sensation, we can understand that ice is cold, right? This knowledge we get through our Pratyaksha. But later, you see a whole big block of ice, right? Before even touching, we can say, oh, that ice looks so cold. Are how you can tell something is cold by looking at it? Because in the past, we had got the knowledge by touch sensation that something is cold. Something which is like white color, a little maybe some vapor is coming, looks like ice. By looking at it, we can tell that looks so cold. So this is the special ability of mind. Another ability of mind is it can speculate based on past knowledge. It can combine things and it can speculate something. And then one more function it does is, based on past experiences, it combines them and creates newer and newer ideas or desires. So this first two ways of getting knowledge, pratyaksha and anumana, they are not completely reliable. The reliable way of getting knowledge is through shabda praman. Shabda praman means making inquiry, in making inquiry from an authentic source. There is a saying in Tamil, Kannal kanbadum poi, kadal ketpadum poi, tira visaripade mai. What does it mean? Kannal kanbadum poi means whatever you see through your eyes might be deceiving. Whatever you hear through your ears also could be deceiving. But what is proper inquiry. When you make proper inquiry, then you can ascertain what is right, what is wrong. So, making inquiry into a bona fide source of knowledge is the right way of getting knowledge, especially the topic beyond this world. If you want to understand what absolute truth, you have to make inquiry from a bona fide source or getting testimony from an authority. So, this is the right way of getting knowledge. Of the bona fide source of knowledge, the Vedas are the most authentic, reliable means of getting knowledge about the absolute truth. These are all Jiva Goswami establishes in Tattva Sandarbha, the first half of Tattva Sandarbha. So, the Vedic knowledge, the Vedas, can be classified into two categories, Shruti and Smriti. Shruti means what is revealed, coming in a disciplic succession, whatever the spiritual master vibrates, the disciple just observes, like a photographic memory. One time he hears, he doesn't have to be repeated. Perfect. Like that, it was coming through oral reception. What is revealed, that is Shruti, Shruti Pramana. Also, there is another category of knowledge. The great sages, when they receive the Shruti Pramana, and then, when they see that different actions, different activities, different incidents happening in this world, when they analyze those incidents through the eyes of knowledge coming from Shruti, they document that particular incident as an example for future generation to understand how to understand a particular incident in the history through the eyes of Shruti. So, this category of knowledge, it's called Smriti. Smriti means what is remembered. Now when the sages remember the teachings of the Shruti, apply the teachings to a particular incident or a historical situation, when they document that knowledge, that becomes Smriti. So Smriti can change over the period of time, the words. Shruti, the words does not change. That Smriti is very much useful for common people. People who are, in order to access the Shruti knowledge, one has to be highly qualified. Because the knowledge taught in Shruti requires certain amount of intellectual capacity to comprehend. How one gets that intellectual capacity to comprehend that knowledge? He has to go through purificatory ceremony. Right? By birth, everybody is born as Shudra. Right? Janmana Jayate Shudraga. Right? By performance of purificatory ceremony, one becomes Dvija. Samskaret Bhava Dvijaga. By only performance of purificatory ceremony, one becomes twice born. Right? So, that person is qualified to study the Vedas. So what about others? What about even that part of the Vedas, even those people who are twice initiated dvaja, only one who has Brahminical tendency can access all the parts of the Vedas. Especially, he only can teach the teachings of the Vedas. He only can do what Vedas is asking you to do. Like performing sacrifices. Only a Brahmana can do. So that means the Vedic knowledge is discriminatory, is not beneficial to all. Vedavyas compiled the Vedas for the benefit of all people, right? So that benefit for the rest of the category of people other than Brahmanas comes from Smriti. By teachings, the Shruti and Smriti teaches the same knowledge. There is no difference between the teachings of Shruti and Smriti. The only difference is Shruti teaches the abstract concepts, Smriti teaches the same concepts with example, so that it is easily accessible to people who are not having that capability to digest that knowledge. That Smriti and Shruti, these two categories of knowledge, they are actually one and the same. In fact, he proves, Jiva Goswami, Shruti and Smriti are same category of knowledge. In general, sometimes, you know, some scholars say Shruti is superior, Smriti is not superior. No. That contradiction he defeats in Tattva Sandarbha. How? One of the statement from Shruti, right? One of the Upanishad, which is Shruti, makes a statement that the Puranas and Itihasas are the fifth Veda. So for example, when you will add something into the same category, if it is not of the same type, you will not add into the same category, right? When you are classifying things, for example, if I have four t-shirts, the fifth one happened to be a dhoti, I will not call fifth dhoti, right? I have four t-shirts, the fifth cloth I pick up, if it happened to be dhoti, I will not call as fifth dhoti, right? I will call that as fifth t-shirt if it's of the same kind. Only the fifth cloth, right? If it is t-shirt, then only I can call it as fifth t-shirt. If the cloth I am picking up, the fifth one, if it is not of the same type of the previous two, I cannot put in the same bucket, right? I will call as first dhoti only. When Shruti Shastra says that Puranas and Itihasas are the fifth Veda, that means all the Veda, the first four Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sam and other Veda, and the Puranas and Itihasas of the same type or same category. That statement he proves from Shruti only. In fact, later Jiva Goswami proves that Smriti is superior to Shruti. Huh? How come it is superior? Because Shruti is not accessible to all. As we saw already, it is accessible to only a small section of the population who are highly qualified. Smriti is accessible to all. In fact, in Kali Yuga, most of the Shruti is lost. Not even 5% of the Vedas is left. If you want to understand something, what is the conclusive teachings of some source, we need to read the full thing. Then only we can understand what the conclusion is. Even if somebody is qualified in Kali Yuga to read the entire Vedas, is it available? It's not available. Hence, Smriti is superior. After that, of all the Smriti, he establishes Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost source of knowledge. Amalam Puranam. How? Because of all the compilation Vedavyas did, in the end, he compiles Srimad Bhagavatam. He establishes Srimad Bhagavatam as the most reliable source of topmost knowledge. After establishing this in the first half of Tattva Sandarbha, in the second half of Tattva Sandarbha, he talks about what the rest of the Sandarbhas are about. The primary objective of Bhagavata Sandarbhas or the Shat Sandarbha is study of Srimad Bhagavatam. Whatever I am going to do, everything is going to be based on Bhagavatam only. The primary object of my work in this six treatise is Srimad Bhagavatam. And then his goal of writing this books, this six essays or six exposition is to prove that the highest teachings ఈస్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు. శ్రీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభుస్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్ ఫిలాసఫీ ఈజ్ ద హైయెస్ట్ టీచింగ్స్, హైయెస్ట్ ఫిలాసఫికల్ టీచింగ్స్ అవైలబుల్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. హౌ హీ డస్ దట్? హీ డస్ ఇన్ అ త్రీ స్టెప్ స్ట్రాటజీ. ఫస్ట్, హీ ఎస్టాబ్లిషెస్ ద సుప్రీమేసీ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. హీ ప్రూవ్స్ దట్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం నాలెడ్జ్ ఇస్ ద టాప్ మోస్ట్. సెకండ్, ద టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు అండ్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఈజ్ సేమ్. హెన్స్ ఇఫ్ ద ఫస్ట్ టూ స్టెప్స్ ఆర్ ప్రూవ్డ్, ఆటోమేటికలీ విల్ కన్క్లూడ్ వాట్? థర్డ్ స్టెప్, ద టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ మహాప్రభు ఈజ్ ద హైయెస్ట్. ద టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఈజ్ ద హైయెస్ట్ ఫస్ట్ స్టెప్. సెకండ్ స్టెప్ ఇస్ ద టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం అండ్ మహాప్రభు ఈజ్ వన్ అండ్ ద సేమ్. ఇఫ్ ద టూ స్టెప్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్రూవ్డ్, ఆటోమేటిక్లీ థర్డ్ స్టెప్ ఇస్ ప్రూవ్డ్, రైట్? టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ మహాప్రభు ఇస్ ద హైయెస్ట్. సో దిస్ మెథడ్ మత్ స్ట్రాటజీ యూజెస్, ఈవెన్ ద మోడర్న్ స్కాలర్స్ యాక్చువల్లీ యూజెస్ ఓన్లీ దిస్ స్ట్రాటజీ. సో దిస్ ఇస్ ద స్ట్రాటజీ జీవ గోస్వామి డస్ ఇన్ దిస్ షట్ సందర్భ టు ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ ద సుప్రీమసీ ఆఫ్ మహాప్రభుస్ టీచింగ్. సో ఎస్పెషలీ ద సెకండ్ స్టెప్ ఈస్ ద మోస్ట్ అమౌంట్ ఆఫ్ వర్క్ హీ డస్. జీవగోస్వామి వర్క్ ఆఫ్ ద రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద సందర్భాస్ ఆఫ్టర్ తత్వ సందర్భ ఈస్ ద ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం, ద టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం అండ్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ మహాప్రభు ఈస్ వన్ అండ్ ద సేమ్. ఇట్స్ అ వెరీ టాల్ ఆర్డర్ ఆఫ్ టాస్క్, రైట్? ఫర్ దట్ ఆల్సో హీ అప్లైస్ ద స్ట్రాటజీ. ఫస్ట్ వాట్ హీ డస్, హీ ఎక్స్ట్రాక్ట్స్ ద ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. If you want to prove that Mahaprabhu's teachings and Srimad Bhagavatam teaching is same, it's not an easy task because Bhagavatam contains 18,000 shlokas and Mahaprabhu teachings also so much is there, right? So the strategy he uses that for that is, first he extracts the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you want to understand what is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, how can we go about how to understand the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam? Any ideas? If you want to understand what is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, which part of Srimad Bhagavatam you will look to understand what is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam? So I will just give a hint. Vedavyas, before writing Bhagavatam, what happened to him? Why did he write Bhagavatam? Before writing Bhagavatam, he was dissatisfied with his work of compiling the Vedas. After dividing the one Veda into four and compiling it and appointing four professors to teach in a disciplinary succession, and then rest of the books, rest of the knowledge after compiling as Shruti, Puranas and Itihasas, after compressing all this knowledge in 550 aphorisms or formulas as Vedanta Sutra, still he was not satisfied with his work. Whenever somebody does good work, they get satisfaction in the heart. Why? Because Paramatma in the heart is pleased. When you do some good work for the well-being of others, when Paramatma is satisfied with that work, we automatically will feel good about it. Of course, there is two different ways of feeling good about. One is through the ego and another is through the Paramatma. When Paramatma is pleased with one's work, automatically we will feel satisfaction. Vedavyasa is dissatisfied. At that time, Narada Muni comes. And then Narada Muni instructs Vedavyas, whatever you had done, you are the most, first he glorifies Vedavyas, you are the right person to compile the Vedas because you are most qualified. You are the right person to do those work. But unfortunately, the work you have done is the entire Vedas. Is nothing but a place of pilgrimage for crows. Huh? Where does crows go for pilgrimage? Garbage. Narada Muni is telling Vedavyas that whatever you had done, I am not telling, by the way. Vedas are glow, no, amazing. But he is telling because on the name of Vedas, you got authorized people to do karmakanda, sense gratification. Even though your idea behind giving Vedas is to slowly elevate, gradually elevate people in their consciousness, come up to the mode of goodness so that they can surrender to the lotus feet of the Bhagavan, but people are going to miss use your strategy of performing sacrifice only for sense gratification. Hence, it is nothing but a place of pilgrimage for crows, garbage. Now, you compile an exclusive literature which exclusively glorifies the Lord and his devotees and their exchange. That work will be the one which will not be misused, which can guide the humanity in the right direction. Hence, Narada Muni instructed Vedavyas on this topic and then gave the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, seed verses of Bhagavatam. After receiving the seed verses of Bhagavatam, Vedavyas, what did he do? He went on meditation, samadhi. In that samadhi, what he sees, the 2.5 shlokas, gives the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. What he sees? In the samadhi of Vedavyas, what he sees? Bhagavan and his energies. Right? Specifically, we see Bhagavan and his external energy. It doesn't talk about internal energy. No, actually, Bhagavan means Bhagavan and his internal energy and his external energy. He sees, and then he sees that all the living entities in this material world are struggling, and the only way to get out of the struggle is to take the shelter of the lotus feet of Bhagavan. This 2.5 shlokas, the meditation, gives the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. The supreme absolute truth is personality of Godhead Bhagavan, and he has many energies of these two main categories, internal and external. Because of external energy, the living entities are struggling in this material world, and the only way to come out of the struggle of the material existence is to take shelter at the lotus feet of Bhagavan by performing devotion service, bhakti. So this is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. We can understand Mahaprabhu's teachings from Shikshashtakam. This is the essence of teachings of Mahaprabhu. So the essence of Bhagavatam is Bhagavan and devotional service unto Bhagavan. The essence of Mahaprabhu's teaching is Bhagavan and devotional service unto Bhagavan. Hence, the teachings of Mahaprabhu and Bhagavatam is one and the same. Hence, the supremacy of teachings of Mahaprabhu is established. Like that, Jiva Goswami elaborates systematic and comprehensive study of Srimad Bhagavatam through Shat Sandarbhas or Bhagavata Sandarbha. This Bhagavata Sandarbha contains 6. The first one is Tattva Sandarbha. The second one is Bhagavat Sandarbha. The absolute truth can be understood on 3 levels: Bhagavan, Paramatma and Brahman. First book, the second book of the 3 levels of understanding the supreme truth, the first one he writes about Bhagavan. That is in Bhagavat Sandarbha. In Bhagavat Sandarbha, he talks about the personal aspect of the supreme absolute truth. Second, he talks about Paramatma. In Paramatma Sandarbha, specially he talks about who is Paramatma. He is the link between Bhagavan and the material world, material creation. Paramatma, he talks about in detail about creation, time and all these factors in the third book, Paramatma Sandarbha. Fourth book, technically what it should be? Brahman Sandarbha, right? He is talking about first Tattva Sandarbha, next is Bhagavat Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha. In that sequence, what should come? Brahman Sandarbha, right? But Brahman Sandarbha, he says, I don't have to write about Brahman, because if you want to know about the Advaitins have written enough about Brahman, you go and study that. He doesn't waste any time. If you want to know more about Brahman, go to Advaitins. After that, in the first 3 books, he establishes the generic principles, the supreme truth as Bhagavan, as a personality of Godhead. He doesn't actually come into Gaudiya philosophy. That Bhagavan can be Narayana, Vishnu, Krishna, Rama, it's personality. He doesn't establish Krishna as the supreme in the first 3 books. In the 4th book, Krishna Sandarbha, he establishes Bhagavan. He is Krishna himself. Swayam Bhagavan is Krishna himself. So the fourth work actually is more or less resembles to Laghu Bhagavatamrita of Rupa Goswami. Krishna, his qualities, his activities, various forms, his avatars, all of them, Krishna Sandarbha he deals with. These first four books, Tattva Sandarbha, Bhagavat Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, and Krishna Sambandha, Krishna Sandarbha, primarily talks about Sambandha Gyan. In the fifth book, he talks, now after establishing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he talks about in the fifth Sandarbha, how to perform devotional service unto Bhagavan Shri Krishna. The fifth Sandarbha is Bhakti Sandarbha, which more or less resembles the first section, the eastern section or the eastern ocean, eastern section of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then in the final work, in the Preeti Sandarbha, the remaining four, the three sides of the ocean, right? The remaining types of, after like discussing about Vaidhi Bhakti, the Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti is talked in the rest of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is what constitutes the Preeti Sandarbha. Of course, Preeti Sandarbha has further more than Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The sequel to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is Ujjwala Neelamani. So it elaborates more about Shringara Rasa and Madhurya Rasa. That comes in the Preeti Sandarbha. This six Sandarbhas together, called as Shad Sandarbha or Bhagavata Sandarbha, which is a treatise on Bhagavadam, gives the systematic presentation, systematic and comprehensive presentation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Jiva Goswami had done for the future generation to come, so that they can deliberately study, deliberately by studying these scriptures can understand the conclusion of the Vedic knowledge, so that they can become bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession. The fourth qualification for spiritual master is he should teach by example. He should be an acharya. Like that, when a qualified, bona fide spiritual master presents the knowledge, when there is a qualified, suitable disciple or a student, that qualification Krishna tells in the fourth chapter, right? Tatvidhi panipatena pariprasnena sevaya. When the student is submissive, is eagerly making inquiries, and then he has a service attitude, when such a spiritual master and disciple are present, when such a spiritual master presents, qualified spiritual master presents the knowledge is received by the suitable qualified disciple and there is a transformation of heart. So I would like to stop here. Thank you very much. So if you have any comments, any clarifications or questions, please forgive me if I have spoken anything out of my qualification. Whatever I spoke is what I heard. I am trying to repeat for my own purification. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions? Sorry, I went a little over. So, Prabhuji, please. The primary motive is selfish only, for my own purification I am sharing. But if you feel it's appropriate, please give your blessings so that I can progress in my spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Hare Krishna.